Today's daf is Rav Metzia, daf mem beis. Today's shir is sponsored anonymously lizchus refuah shleima for Tzvi Hirsch ben Tzipora Feiga. He should have refuah shleima b'karav, and we thank the sponsor very much for the sponsorship. We're holding out the Mishnah on the top of daf mem beis amud aleph. The Mishnah is going to talk about if someone trusts you with money, how does one properly watch over money? What are protective measures that one is expected to take in order to guard money? That's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of advice not only on watching money, but also on investing money. And the Gemara is going to talk about how, in general, if one wants bracha, it has to be something that's somu min ha'ayin, that there shouldn't be any ayin hara, that is not easily measurable, that or already measured, that people will be able to see exactly how much you have. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to get into the issue of tchilasu b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones. What if a person initially doesn't protect an item properly, but what ultimately happens to the item is something that had nothing to do with his negligence. It was something that was an onus that would have been beyond his control anyway. And then on the basic one, I was going to have three different stories of situations that came up where it wasn't exactly clear who would be chayiv to pay. It seemed that someone lost out and someone should be reimbursed, but it wasn't clear who had really made the mistake that would be chayiv to pay. So let's see from the top. Says the Mishnah, Hamafkid ma'us etzal chavero, if a person gives money to as a pikadon by his friend to watch, tzaron v'hivshilin l'acharov, he wraps it up and he puts it behind him, he puts it in his backpack, oshamasum l'bno b'yikto ha'katanim, or he gives it to his son and daughter, ha'katanim v'na'al b'fneim shalo karotwi, and he locks it up in front of them, but doesn't lock it up properly, doesn't protect it properly. So there's major issues with the girsa of our Mishnah. Is it O Shemasam Libino Bito Akhtanim, or is it Vimasram Libino Bito Akhtanim? That it's all the same case. Is it Vinal Bifnehem Shalokaroi, or is it O Naal Bifnehem Shalokaroi? So if you look on the side of the page, it quotes the Girs of the Rif and the Rosh is O Naal Bifnehem, and it quotes alternative Girs for the first line as well. But let's assume that they're separate cases, that if you protect this money by doing any of these things, putting it in your backpack, trusting it with little kids, locking it up but not locking it up properly, chayiv. In all those cases, the shomer is chayiv for anything that happens to it. If it gets stolen, shloshimer kederach hashomrim. He didn't guard it the way a shomer is expected to guard money. Vim shimer kederach hashomrim pater. But if he did guard it the way a shomer is expected to guard money, then even though the money may have gotten lost or stolen, he's going to be pater because he did what he was supposed to do in order to protect that money. Says the Gemara, Bishlam kulu shloshimer kederach hashomrim. I understand all of the rest of them. It's shloshimer. But when you talk about wrapping it up and putting it behind him, what do you want him to do? What should he have done differently? He wrapped it up well and he put it in his backpack. What did he do wrong? Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Kra, Vitzarta Hakesef Biyadecha. Afal pisha tsururin you biyadecha. That we darsh in the pasuk says v'tzarta kesef biyadecha, that even though they're wrapped up, still it's supposed to be biyadecha. The Rush writes that it doesn't have to be dafka biyadecha. It just has to be in front of you. You can't put it behind you. You can't put it in a backpack behind you because if it's in front of you, that's like biyado. That's good enough to be considered biyado. And the Ritva says that it says it beferush in Yerushalmi this way, exactly like the Rush said. And the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka also says the same exact thing in Hilchos Sheila Perek Dalet Halacha Vav. So it seems that there should be no point of dispute that as long as it's in front of you, not behind you, that's a perfectly valid way to watch the money. However, the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos writes that Ksafim only have Shmira B'Karka. Karka is the only way, or biyado dafka, that the only two ways to guard money is in your hand or buried underground. But if you don't put him in your yad, rather you're koshrim bibigdo lefanav. Hareu poshea, says the Rambam. You tie it in your baguette, even in front of you, he says, that's called a poshea. So it's a stira in the Rambam, and it also needs explanation. Why would that be a problem if it's kosher b'funav? So the Mabit explains, the Shitas HaRambam, it's not a stira at all. That in Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam's talking about, and the Rambam quotes the din of our Mishnah, but when you're moser money to somebody else to bring them somewhere, if the person is expected to be bringing the money somewhere, then it's okay if he's kosher lefanav. But when the guy's home, so the real halacha is it's supposed to be buried in the karka. If he's not going to be burying it in the karka, and he's not traveling anywhere, then it better be in his hand. That's what the Rambam Perusha Mishnayis is talking about, that it's got to actually be in your hand if you're going to guard it properly, because when you're supposed to have a higher level shmira, when it's supposed to be buried in the karka, then we expect that if you're not going to do that, at least put it in your hands. But when you're traveling where it's not shaykh to have it buried in the karka, because you have to be transporting it from one place to the other, so then we just say a reasonable amount of shmira to have it tied up, even put somewhere in front of you, is good enough. Ve'amar Rabbi Yitzchak also taught, once we're mentioning Rabbi Yitzchak, when it comes to money, Rabbi Yitzchak also taught, La'olim yehi kaspo shel adam matzui biyado. A person should always have his money easily accessible to him. Rashi points out, lo yafkidenu la'acherim b'makom acher, shem tizdam l'schar l'schar yimizum alo. Person needs to have some level of liquidity. He shouldn't have all of his money tied up where he's not going to be able to easily access the money. You never know when a business opportunity is going to come up. So a person should always have some amount of money that's available to him. Shneimar b'tzarta kesef piyodecha. Ve'am Rabbi Yitzchak. Another bit of advice from Rabbi Yitzchak. Li'olam yashlish adam es ma'osav. A person should divide up his money into three parts. Typically we understand three parts means three even parts. Yashlish means three even parts. Shlish b'karka, shlish b'prakmatia, u'shlish tachas yado. That it should be one third in business, in investments. One third should be in karka, should be in land, and one third he should keep liquid. He should keep available to him. The Marsha has two deos. What it means shlish b'karka? Does shlish b'karka mean literally hidden in the ground, or does shlish b'karka mean no, invested in real estate? Pashas is it means invested in real estate, that this is a diversified portfolio. If a person invests everything in prakmatya, so that could easily turn sour, because that could, the items that he may invest in may get lost, may get stolen, may something could happen to them, they could lose value. But land is land. Land is always going to be there for a person, so it's a much safer investment. So that's the idea. It's in Igros Moshe, in the eighth volume of Igros Moshe, they printed a biography of Rav Moshe at the beginning of the eighth volume of the Igros Moshe, and they recall a time where there were a bunch of young kolel guys who had invested all of their savings and all their money in a certain investment that had turned sour. And Rav Moshe got up and he said, "This is what happens when you don't listen to Divrei Chazal." He said, "You have to realize Chazal spoke b'chachma when they said that you have to diversify and not put all of your money in one place. They meant that no matter how exciting and how appealing the investment opportunity may be, a person puts all of his money with Madoff and they're going to lose everything. A person has to know how to put things in different places." That's what they say that in the Sefer Likutei Yehuda, according to the Pnimei Halacha section of the Masechta over here in Parshas Maaseh, quotes from the Imre Emes, that when it says that Shvi Shlush Bekarka means Dafka Karka Eretz Yisrael, that that's always the best investment, to buy Karka in Eretz Yisrael, because my uncle used to always say, you gotta live here, because you buy land here, Mashiach comes, it's going to skyrocket. You're going to be it's the best investment in the world. Vam Rabbi Yitzchak also says, Eina Bracha Metzuya Ela B'davra Samoy Min Ha'ayin. Bracha can only be found when something is Samoy Min Ha'ayin, when something is hidden from the eye. Shenemar Yitzav Hashem Oscha Esabracha Ba'asamecha. Ba'asamecha, we're darshaning, means Samoy Min Ha'ayin, that if a person doesn't flaunt his wealth, then there will be bracha. But if it's something that everyone sees, then it's not going to have as much bracha. Talmud Bei Rabbi Shmuel. Eina bracha metzuya el bedavar she'eina ayin sholet espo. Bracha is only when something that isn't subject to people seeing it. Shenemar yitzav Hashem oscha esabracha ba'asamecha. Again, darshan, the same drasha. Ba'asamecha, something that's hidden, something that people cannot easily see. If someone is going to measure his goren, he's going to see how much grain he has. So we mentioned this the other day. Omer, he should say, before he measures it, he should say a bracha, that there should be a bracha, for in the goren. His chilamud, when he begins to do the measuring, Amar Baruch HaShalech Bracha B'Kriya Zeh. The blessed is the one who gave Bracha in this Kri. Madad V'achar Kach B'Reich Harez Tefillah Shav. Once he's already measured, and then he's Mevarich, that's already a Tefillah Shav. Lefi Sheina Bracha L'Metzuya, Lo B'davra Shakol, V'lo B'davra Madud, V'lo B'davra Manoy, El B'davra Sami Min Ayin. Because Bracha is only going to be found in something that's not yet measured, not yet counted. It's something that's an unknown. Shnemer Yitzav Hashem Oschas HaBracha Ba'asamecha. The Kasha that we've asked in the past, and it seems to be a very strong kasha, as the Mishnah Maseches Bracha says, that when one's wife is pregnant, one is not supposed to daven that the baby should be a specific gender, because it's already decided the gender of the baby. So it's a tefillah shav to determine to daven that it should be a specific gender. But isn't that also samim minayin? Why is that any different than davening before you measure what's in your granary? You don't know, it's all there. Whatever you have, you've already harvested everything, it's all there. You just haven't measured it. And we said, oh, that you could say that there should be bracha. You're allowed to daven that there should be bracha. Well, why? And that's not a tefillah shav. It's only tefillah shav once it's known, once you know it. Well, in the days of Chazal, they didn't have sanhedrins. They didn't know the gender of the baby. So if they didn't know the gender of the baby, it shouldn't that be considered an unknown and not a tefillah shav? So this kasha, when I thought of this kasha, I thought that this is an obvious kasha. I'm missing something obvious, and the whole world must know the answer to this kasha, because how couldn't everyone not ask this kasha? So I sent it to various Gedolei Yisrael and got different answers from every single one. That no one had a standard, and none of them were particularly satisfying answers. A very, very difficult kasha, and it's chaps nafka mina l'maisa. The reason I thought I was bothered by this kasha, because someone had asked me that their wife was pregnant, and there was some warning, and the parents had both, after the wife was already pregnant, the parents had both tested as carriers for Tay-Sachs. That for some reason in the genetic screening they had before they got married, it fell through the cracks. Somehow it didn't come up, and they went through a more rigorous screening after the wife already became pregnant, and they're both carriers for Tay-Sachs. So the baby either is or is not. The baby, it's not like it's going to be decided. Are they allowed to daven? They wanted to know before the tests came back on the baby. They didn't have amniocentesis or whatever they did to test the baby before the tests come back on the baby. Are they allowed to daven that the baby shouldn't have Tay-Sachs? Is that called a tefillah shav? So if you just read the Mishnah Maseches Brachos, sounds like that's a tefillah shav. It's already determined. You can't daven for something that's already determined. But you read this, it's somim in ayin. No one knows whether yes or no. So based on the different answers I got from various Gedolei Yisrael, I got different answers whether they're allowed to daven. Rav Shach said you should daven that everything should turn out for the best in more vague lashonos and more vague thoughts, rather than specifically that it shouldn't have Tay-Sachs. Rav Zilberstein thought that no, you could daven that it shouldn't have Tay-Sachs. He thought that's the kind of thing that can change without anyone noticing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make a miracle inside the mother without anyone noticing. So it's still called Samim Min Ayin. But your Goren, what's going to happen to your grain, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not dropping more grain in without anybody noticing. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Ksafim, if one has to guard money, the only way to guard money is bekarka, is by putting it in the ground. But if someone gives you money to watch, and it's 5 minutes before Shabbos, and they say, here, watch my money, so everyone would agree at that point, you don't have to go out to your backyard and dig a hole in the backyard, you're busy, so that could wait until after Shabbos. But it has to be your first priority when Shabbos is over. And if Shabbos has been over long enough that you could have taken care of it and you could have buried it and you didn't, and then it gets stolen, you're going to be chayiv for that, because the person does have to take care of it as soon as he reasonably can. But if the person is a tzobr me'rabanan, so then he could think that he's going to need the money for avdala, so I better not put it in the ground yet, because if I put it in the ground, then it's not going to be accessible to him for avdala. So if the guy's a tzobr me'rabanan, I know he's going to want this money to buy avdala wine, so I shouldn't put it away quite so quickly. A couple of things over here. Einlim shmira ele bakarka. The only way to guard money is bakarka. The Rush says that it's only money we say this about, because money is something that ganavim are moser nefesh for, and it's something that doesn't easily get ruined in the karka. So the shmira bakarka is a valid shmira. The Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchos Shel Pikadon says that there are those gaonim that understand that it's not only money, anything that's masa'okal and is not miskalkal bakarka, anything something that's easy to carry away. So ganavim have an easy time and enjoy stealing things that are easy to carry away, and is not going to get ruined in the ground. Lashon shel kesef, if you have blocks of silver, things like that, or gold, or avanim tovos, you have gems, those are the types of things that also the shmirah is only in the karka. The Gra writes that the Rosh holds like the mitzvah sagonim, that it's anything that the Rosh, when he says dafka kesef, doesn't mean dafka kesef, it means anything that the ganavim are moser nefesh about, and is not going to be miskalkel b'karka. However, the Prisha thinks that the Rosh is cholik on the mitzvah sagonim. The Rosh said dafka money. It's only money that shmiras b'karka, because that's currency is something that ganavim are always after. That what was the famous bank robber? Why is it that you rob banks? Because that's where the money is. Ganavim look for money. That's what they're most interested in. Everything else is a hassle. Everything else, you have to sell, you have to figure out, you have to pawn, you have to. So money is the easiest way for them to deal with it. That's what they're always going to be moser nefesh on. There is a discussion Rishonim. Is this true no matter when you're living in history? So Rov of the Rishonim understand the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran. They all say that Shmuel is only bizman where there were shchiach ganavim vanasim, where you live in a dangerous neighborhood and there are people constantly stealing things, and that's why people would always hide things in the ground. So a shomer has to do that because that's what a normal person would do with his own money. But when there are no ganavim vanasim and no one puts their kesef in the karka, so a shomer doesn't have to put his kesef in the karka either. He could just watch it the way a normal person would watch his own money. But the Beis Yosef and Chosh Mishpah Reish Sadi Aleph writes that from the Rambam it sounds not that way, because the Rambam in the fourth parak of Ilchshela quotes his din la'alacha, and he doesn't say that it's only when the minig is that way. It sounds like the Rambam holds that this is a'alacha for all times, that whenever you're a shomer on money for whatever reason is supposed to put it into the ground. The Beis Yosef adds that even the Rambam would admit that nowadays you don't have to be shomer b'karka because it's not the derech at all, and therefore it's not the das ha-mafkid that you should do it. You always have to watch based on the expectation of the mafkid. Problem is, it's unclear what the Beis Yosef is trying to say then. So what is the Shittas Rambam? It's halacha for all times, unless the mafkid doesn't expect you to do it, which is all times except for the times of Chazal. So it's not abundantly clear how the Beis Yosef understood the Rambam. This other part, that if you wait Motzai Shabbos, so you're allowed to wait if he's a Talmud Chacham. If who's a Talmud Chacham? So Rashi says, the mafkid is a Talmud Chacham, so he's Chared al Mitzvahs Avdala al Akos. We know that he's going to want to do Avdala al Akos, so therefore the Shomer doesn't have to bury it right away, because Mistama, he's going to want to buy wine for Avdala. The Magen Mishnah says that, and other people who are not Tamid Chacham don't do Avdala. Avdala is a pretty basic mitzvah. You would imagine that almost everybody does Avdala. So the Magen Mishnah says, yeah, most people hear Avdala in Shul, or they'll hear it from somebody else. A Charid L'Dvar Hashem is someone who's going to be Makbid to Dafka do Avdala on his own. The Sma points out that most hear it in Shul, but Tamid Chacham do it on their own. Magen Avram asks, what's wrong with hearing it in Shul? Why would Tamid Chacham Dafka not hear Shomei HaKona? It's a real halacha. So you could hear it from somebody else, so why wouldn't they? So the Tamid Chacham are more Makbid that their B'nai Bayis hear Avdala as well. That if they go back home, their children, their wife, they're more Makbid that their families should hear Avdala. People who weren't Tamid Chacham didn't care so much if their families heard Avdala. They heard it in Shul. They were Yotze the mitzvah. The Machtz HaShekel, though, says a little bit of a different part, which is Chaps Nafkamina Lemaisa for us. Machtz HaShekel says that the Tamid Chacham were Makbid to say it on their own, because it's true you could hear it in Shul, but it's a greater Hidur to do the mitzvah on your own. Similar to the notion of mitzvah bo, Yosem Yibishlucho. So there's 2 days in the Bir Halacha. Do we say that when you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah by hearing it from somebody else, Berovam, where everyone's going to be doing the mitzvah together, and with one person saying it, is that not as good as everyone doing it on their own separately without a Rovam? Do we say mitzvah bo yosem yibishlucho, or do we say berovam hadras melech? There's a discussion in the poskim. You're invited to someone's house for a meal, and they ask, would you like to make your own kiddush? So what's the right answer? Is the right answer, no, I'd rather be yotze with you, berovam hadras melech, let everyone be yotze with one kiddush? Or is the right answer that mitzvah bo yosem yibishlucho? Yeah, it's even better if I make my own kiddush. The poskim discuss this. Pashtus is mitzvah bo yosem yibishlucho is not shayach over here, because there's no shlichus. It's not that the guy is your shliach, it's shomea keona. When you hear from him, it's like you're saying it. It's not that he's your shliach. A shliach can do things when you're not even there. The guy can't make kiddush for you when you're not there. So it's pashas has nothing to do with has nothing to do with shlichus. It's more about shomea ka'ona, which is a different issue than shlichus. There's also a discussion in the Rishonim whether a person is allowed to do malacha on Motzei Shabbos before he says Havdalah al Hakos. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you said Havdalah b'tfila, it's good enough. Even if you're not Havdalah al Hakos, you're allowed to do malacha. So I say a lot of people will drive home from Shul on Motzei Shabbos because they say Havdalah b'tfila. If they forget to say Havdalah b'tfila, it's a problem. Then they should at least say Baruch HaMavdil Minchodesh L'chol before they get into their cars. But if you say Havdalah b'tfila, we paskin Shulchan Aruch, it's good enough. You don't have to say Havdalah al Hakos. And Tshuvas Torah L'shma, Siman Ayin Tes says, is there an inyan not to do malacha before you eat malav malka? Is there any such inyan that to refrain from malacha? Not a requirement, because that's certainly even for Havdalah al Kos not a requirement, but an inyan to do that. So he says no such inyan, and his raya is from our sugya, because what does the Gemara say? That maybe he needs the money for Havdalah. So it sounds like that it's dafka for Havdalah that he's going to need the money for, but what about for a sudas malav malka that he might need the money for? So that, yeah, but that could come so much later. He's going to be doing malacha, he's going to be doing everything else that he needs, and then later at night he's going to eat malav malka. So that you don't hold on to the money for. The Ramah says that if the nifkar is a Talmud Chacham, he's you're not chayiv if you didn't hide it right away. So if it's a midas chasidus not to do malacha until eating malav malka, so the Gemara should have mentioned that as well. But the Mishnah Brura still says in Siman Shin Sifkat and Beis that it's still a good idea that if the idea of Malav Malka is to be Malave the Malka, is to be Malave the Shabbos out, so it's unusual to do that after you're already in full weekday mode. He says it makes more sense to do that before one has completely gone back into his regular weekday mode, because then it's too late to be Malave. It's like cleaning up after the guests, where the guests are still there, right? You don't go and change all the linens and do it while the guests are still there. First you're Malave the guest out, and then you take care of going into the guest room and cleaning up or whatever has to be taken care of. So the Mishnah Brura does recommend that a person should stay in Shabbos mode until he eats a little Malave Malka. Okay. Ve'idna d'shchichi geshushai. Back in the Gemara, first white line. Ve'idna d'shchichi geshushai elam shmira elam shmeikura. You know, it used to be that hiding it in the ground, that was the best way to protect money. Nowadays, that there are people that go banging on the ground to see if there are any hollow spots in the ground to try to find where the money is hidden. So then the best place to hide it is up in the ceiling. Ve'idna d'shchichi prumai. Now that there are people that rip apart other people's ceilings, elam shmira elabeni urbi. So now the best way to hide it is between rows of bricks. So you almost want to tell the Gemara, stop saying it, because the Ganavim are going to keep on here. So Amar Rava, umoda shmol b'kosal. Rava says, shmol is moda, that in a wall it's good enough. Ve'idna d'shchichi tefuchai, elam shmira b'tefach samach l'karka. Nowadays, the shmira is only in the tefach that's closest to the karka, b'tefach samach l'shmei kora, or the tefach that's closest to the ceiling, because there are people that are always banging on walls to see if there's a hollow spot in the wall. They're always knocking on the walls looking for a hollow spot, so they're not going to bend all the way down to knock on the area that's close to the karka or that's close all the way to the ceiling. Amli Ravach Abrei Rav Yosef Rashi Hasam Tanan. We learned in Pesachim Chametz Shnafalav Mapoles Hareu Kimavur, that if you have chametz that a mapolas fell in, that a building has caved in on the chametz, so that's already like the chametz is destroyed. As long as a dog is unable to find it, then it's considered to be destroyed. You don't have to go looking for the chametz in order to physically destroy it. It's under all this rubble that even a dog wouldn't be able to sniff it out. How deep does it have to be for a dog not to find it? Kimel tefachim, three tefachim. Sa'achamai, mi bin shlosh tefachim alo. So we hear, when we're burying money in order to keep it from ganavim, do we need three tefachim? Does it need to be taken care of that it should be buried three tefachim? Amalei, no. Hasam ishim recha, bin gimel tefachim. Over there, dogs are sniffing out the smell of chametz. So that's three tefachim. Over here, it's just to make sure that people don't see it. So you don't need three tefachim in order to keep it hidden from people's sight. the kama. So how deep do you need it? Amarafram misichra tefach. Rafram misichra says one tefach. One tefach is good enough. Tosus points out Shaina Kalviachal Chabisach Ravim Tomar Velo Potu Livdo Kor Mipnei Sakonas Akrav, that you don't have to check a hole in the wall because of a sakana of an akrav. So shouldn't it be the same when it comes to digging under rubble? No, this is easy to move the mapolas. Inami hacha sheyesh sham chametz bevaday eno pater mishum chashashas akrav. Vortel says no. Maybe there's a big difference when you don't know if there's chametz there. It's a question of bedika. For chametz that may or may not be there, the chance that there's an akrav, a sakanas akrav, is a good enough reason not to do bedikas chametz. But when you know that there's chametz there, it's just under the rubble, sakanas akrav is not going to be a good enough reason not to check. You need it to actually be three tefachim deep in order not to check. Now Rashi writes over here that the reason why when it's nafal of mapolas is considered kamavur. I mean, not the reason. What it accomplishes that it's considered kamavur is that you're no longer in violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatze, that it's no longer Bal Yirah once it's Kamavur. The implication is that if it's that had the Mapolis not fallen in, then you would be in violation of Bal Yirah. Paras Yosef just points out that if you look in that Sugim Psachim Daf Lamed Aleph, it sounds like when Nafal of Mapolis, it's true, you don't have to go looking for it, but you still need to be Mevatalit. You're still doing a Bitul Chametz. So he says, L'chara, that's difficult for Rashi. If anyway, even if the Ukimta is you're doing a Bitul Chametz, so how could Rashi say, oh, but if Mapolis didn't fall in on it, then you'd be in violation by Yirah by Yimatzei. But we're talking about where you did a bittul. So if you did a bittul, why would there still be a violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei? So he suggests that this is Rashi l'shitasam psachim dav beis, that the reason for biur chametz, for bedika biur, is because of Bal Yirah, even though you're already doing bittul. That Rashi somehow assumes that bittul chametz does not adequately address the issue of Bal Yirah, and that one needs to do bedika biur as well, even for Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei. Okay, says the Gemara now a story. There was a guy who gave a pikadon of money to his friend. He put it in a hut made out of reeds. So Ignov, it got stolen from there. Now in a Tzrifa Dorbani, it should not have gotten stolen. It was, no one could see it. It was not a normal place to keep money. It's not somewhere where a ganav would look. However, it's not a really great place to keep money either, because it's a very flammable material, and any fire comes anywhere near it, and it's going to be destroyed. So, but it ended up getting stolen. It didn't get burnt. Amar of Yosef Alfagav Dilin Ganvi Netirusahi, even though he did a good job protecting from Ganavim, Linya Nura Pshiusahi. When it comes to a fire, he was totally negligent. And that's an example of Tchilasim B'Shiyah V'Sofa Bonus, and he's therefore going to be Chayiv because he was negligent in this type of Shemira. What actually happened turned out to be an Onas, but he's still going to be Chayiv. The other way of saying it is no, that even though it was Pshius, when it was negligence when it comes to fires, it was a good shmira from Ganavim, Utchas Mashivasav Bonus Potter, Vilsa Tchas Mashivasav Bonus Chayv. But we paskin Tchas Mashivasav Bonus is Chayv. Rabbi Kiveger points out the din of Tchas Mashivasav Bonus Chayv could be understood in two ways. One is that at the time of the Pshia, you're already Chayv to pay for the object. It's just that if you manage to give it back, to retrieve the object, so then you're not going to be chayiv to pay, because that is the payment. But already at the time of the pshir, you're chayiv to pay. So it doesn't matter that it's not available now because of an ones. It doesn't matter that it was an ones that destroyed it. You were already chayiv before that ones, at the time of the pshir. That's one way to understand chlasu pshir v'sof banas chayiv. The other way he says is, since the ones came about through a pshir, it's considered that the ones was part of the pshir. That the onus, since the onus wouldn't have happened had it not been for your pshia, so mainly the onus is considered included in the pshia. Nafkamina would be, what if the onus didn't happen because of the pshia? You left it in a place that was exposed, it could have easily gotten stolen. And then then a tornado came. And if you would have had it in a proper place, it would have been destroyed also with the tornado. The onus didn't happen. That had nothing to do with your pshia. So do we say, well, look, the second you're posheya, you're already chayiv. So if you don't return it, you're going to have to pay for it no matter what happens. Like the first day, so over there also you'd have to pay. But if you say that no, that the onus becomes part of the pshia because the onus only had the opportunity to occur since you were posheya, well, that's not true in that case. The onus would have occurred whether you were posheya or not. So that would be the nafkamina between the two ways of understanding, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Another story, Yehu Gavra, Davke Zuze Gabi Chavre. A guy who left a pikadon of money by his friend, Amrlei Havli Zuzai. And he said, give me my money back, please. Amrlei, Loya, it doesn't say please, but Mustami, he said please. Amrlei, Loya Dana Hechlus Vinu. He says, I don't know where I put it. I put it somewhere very safe. I have no idea where it is, though. So, Asal Kameh de Rava, they came to Rava, what do you do over here? Amrlei, Kolo Yadana Pshusi, he is Zil Shalom. You don't know, that's negligence. So you have to go, and you have to pay for it. The Papula Charift on the bottom of the rush says that we just learned this like a week ago in Daf Lamed Hey, that Kol Yadana Pshiusi. Why does Gemara have to repeat it over here? So Chiddush Rabbeinu Meir Simcha, he says that in the end, if in the end you find out that it was stolen or lost, he's going to be chayiv because it's considered chasu b'sheva sofa bonus. Meaning, even though he may be potter on Gneva Aveda, but if he doesn't know where he put it, that's called chilasu b'pshia. So even if whatever ended up happening would have been something that he'd be potter from, so that's why the Gemara wants to reintroduce this concept over here to tell us that this is enough of a pshia to make it chasu b'sheva sofa bonus for which you're going to be chayiv. How gavra another story? Davke zuzi gabi chavre. A guy left money by his friend. Ashleminu liimei, and he gave it to his mother to watch. Vusvinu bekartelisa, and she put it in the cabinet where they kept their money. Veignuv, and it got stolen from there. Amar Rav, heichnu dainu daini lahedina. What are the dayanim supposed to do in this case? Who's going to have to pay the money? The mom's going to have to pay the money. The shomer, who's going to have to pay the money? Namely, the day zil shalim. What should we tell the guy, the shomer, that you have to pay because you're shomer shemasul shomer? Amar kala mafkid al dasi shto banavu mafkid. He can very easily say, I shouldn't have to pay because in general, whenever you're mafkid money by someone or anything by somebody, you know that they have a family and that the family sometimes is going to be called to watch, called on to watch the item. So my mother is part of my family. So it's perfectly reasonable to give it to my mother to watch. The sugya on Daflam Ruvav, Shomer Shmasa Shomer Chayev, we said because the mafkid could say that I only trusted the first guy in the shvua, not the second guy. So Rava says over here, the son is potter only because Kala Mafka Dasish Shobanov Mafkid, because that's why he can't say that he doesn't trust the shvua Simo, because you knew that you were giving it to the mother to the mother as well. So the Rishonim previously on Lamed Vav said that the same would be true if the Shomer gave it to someone that the Bailim normally gives pikdonos to, that he'd also be potter, and the Bailim can't say that I don't trust the shru of that Shomer because he always gives pikdonos to that other person as well, and therefore you know that you can trust him. There is a discussion: what if you gave it to your wife and your kid, and then they were posheya? So that's a discussion in the Rishonim. If the wife and the kid were posheya, does that translate over to the shomer? Okay. So the Tosus also, just parenthetically on top, kol mafkid al dasi shto banavu mafkid. Omer ben tam daniel linyan sheni yachol lomer at mem li b'shvua v'lo heich. Avlim Pashu, right, Tosus mentions this exact point. What if they're posheya? Afilu ein lem malishalim yishalim anifkad dimlokin kol mashu hufkad etzal balabayis tovrishto v'tochal v'tiftar. Tosus points out that it has to be that you're going to be responsible if your wife and children are posheya, because otherwise, anytime anyone gives a pikadon to anybody, their wife and kids could just throw it around and do whatever they want with it, and you're going to be potter, and it's not going to cost the person anything. So, okay, so the Gemara says we can't make the shomer chayev over here because he did a reasonable thing. He gave it to his mother, and the Bala Pikadu knows that he's giving it to the whole family. Namelo the Ime, Zili Shlimi. Watch, so should we be Mechayev the mother? Tell the mother that she has to pay because she didn't guard the money properly. She put it in a cabinet. You're not supposed to put it in a cabinet. You're supposed to put it in the ground. So Amra, Lo Armeli Delavdi Deininu. She could very easily say, well, you know, he never told me. My son never told me that it wasn't his. Dak Barinu, that I should bury it. So should we say to the son, well, why didn't you tell her that it wasn't yours, and that way she would have known to take better care of it? I would think, knowing that it's mine, that she would want to take good care of it. Why would it make a difference that it's somebody else's? I would think she'd want to take good care of my money also. So there's no one to blame over here. The shomer has to swear that he actually gave the money to the mother. And the mother has to swear that she put the money in the cabinet and it got stolen from there, upater, and then no one's going to have to pay her. Moshe has a tshuva, Nigus Moshe Chosh Mishpach El Beis Simon Lamed Zayin, about a Mashkiach Kashrus who's not able to actually watch over the store. He's sick, he's not able to do it. Can he have his children or his wife watch over the store for him? So Rav Moshe says, based on our Gemara, that it's Aldas Ishto Banav, that they can be trusted, that you can trust them, as long as you know that you can trust them, that it's perfectly fine. He says, Mitzad Acher, there's what to be done on whether a woman could be a Mashkiach, because it could be that it's a position of Sarara to be a Mashkiach. So Rav Moshe says she can't be the Rav HaMachshir, who has the ability to take away Ashkacha, but she could be the eyes on the ground to be Mashkiach, as long as she's Yirei Shemayim, she has Ne'amanus, that there would be nothing wrong. It was a case of an Almana, of a Mashkiach who had passed away, and that was their sole form of Parnasa, and the wife wanted to know if she could take over to be the Mashkiach. How up to Aputropa, the Yasmi, there was an Aputropos of Yisomim, the Zavon Lutura Yasmi, who bought an ox on behalf of Yisomim, Masre the Bakra, and he gave it to a guy who takes care of cattle, to a rancher. Lo havele kivi vishini, kichi vishini, lemechal. The ox didn't have teeth with which to eat, and therefore, umis, it died. Amarim barchame, echin dana dani lahaidina. What are the items supposed to do in this case? Namely, the apotropos zil shalom, we should tell the apotropos you gotta pay. Amar no le bakra mesartia, I gave it to a rancher to take care of it. Namely, the bakra zil shalom, we should tell the rancher it's your job to pay. Zil shalom, amar anabati turi kimte. I put it together with all my other oxen. I threw it food like everybody else. How am I supposed to know that it wasn't eating? So says Gemara, well, isn't he a Shomer Sachar of the Yisomim, and therefore he should have checked? Says Gemara, if the Yisomim would have lost out, then Einu Chinami, that would be true. But the case over here is the Yisomim didn't end up losing out because they found the guy that they originally bought the ox from, and it was a Mekach Tos, and they were able to retrieve all of their money from that guy. Eleman Katayin. Well, if that's the case, everyone lives happily ever after. Why do they need money? Who needs to be reimbursed? So Mari Datura Katayin, the guy who originally owned the ox, wants to be reimbursed. Why didn't you feed this ox? So Yibay Leilo Duan, he should have let them know. The guy who originally sold the ox should have let them know. He knew it was a Mekartos. What do you mean, let them know? No, he couldn't let them know because he was someone who himself might not have even known, because he sells things in one place and quickly flips them, and a lot of times he doesn't even see the things that he buys and sells. So therefore he has to swear that he didn't know, and the rancher pays the value of basar bezul, a lesser amount, not the full value of the animal. A guy had given as a pikadon hops to his friend with which to make beer. He also had a pile of hops. He told his brewer, I want you to make beer from this pile. And the guy went and he used the other pile that didn't belong to this guy. So Amr of Amram, who should we fault over here? Namely, the day Zil Shalim, should we say that he has to go pay? Amr and Amri le Mehai Rami. I told him to which pile to use. He used the wrong pile. Why should I have to pay for it? Namely, the Sarsi Zil Shalim, should we tell the brewer that he's got to pay? Amr le Mehai Rami Mehai Lo Rami. Lo Tir Mi. He never told me that I shouldn't use the other pile. He said, use this pile. I thought it didn't matter so much. This pile, that pile, what difference does it make? But if there was, you know, the piles were nowhere near each other, and you saw that he wasn't coming back with beer, any, you know, on time, he must have gone to that far off place where you're keeping the other guy's stuff. Then you really should have said something. And by not saying something after such a delay, you're showing that you approved of him taking. taking from the other pile. So Bedelosha says, well, no, they were right near each other. There was no extra time that it took. Sof sof might say the ikav akamashar shile. Says, well, but what's the loss over here? You have beer and you have hops. So give the guy who trusted you with his hops that you made beer out of, give him your hops and you'll take the beer and everything. Everyone lives happily ever after. Amrav Samre de Rava, Tavashikh Rachala. No, the beer had spoiled. It had turned bad. So now you want to say, I want to keep my hops. Let the guy who gave me the beer, let him worry about the beer. Ravashi Amar Bikisi, Umashalim to make Kisi. That I was talking about, there was the hops were bad and they never turned into proper beer, and therefore you would pay for the Dmei Kisi. That's what he would pay for, the value of that soured beer. Okay, let's show him pick up at the Mishnah and then give all tomorrow.